Welcome back. Today we're going to be talking about how we started the class. When Dan first called me, Dan Williams called me, he explained what he wanted us to do and asked if I'd be interested in leading that class. And I didn't have to think about it very long. I said yes. It sounded like something I wanted to be a part of. So I went to get the material. There was none. I've already told y'all this earlier. So he just told us to put our thinking cap on, be creative, and come up with some stuff. And we did. But the first thing we had to do was come up with helpers. And that was the easy part. We got Jenny Duncan, who had lost her daughter Susie at the age of 9, her only child. She died of a virus over 30 years ago. And Gay White, who had lost her 16-year-old daughter, Stephanie, in a car accident over 20 years ago. I told them about the class, and they jumped in with both feet, and they were ready. Whatever it took, whatever old memories, whatever they had to relive, they were willing to do to help the others. I love those women dearly. And we have bonded because of this class also. First of all, we had no training. I mean, all we had was our own experience of loss. So we just put our thinking caps on. And after we found our helpers, then we needed a location. And they gave us a room in the church building. It was just an empty room that we decorated. And we wanted to make it as comfortable and as much like a home setting as we could. We wanted the ladies, when they came in, to feel like they were at home. I remember we brought in a little refrigerator. We filled it with Cokes and juices and water. And we told them from the very beginning, that is your refrigerator. Please don't ask, can I just go to it when you first come in? Make yourself at home. We brought in comfortable chairs. We brought in a large table so we would have room to work on what we needed to work on. We had bookcases so that we could build up a little library of grief books that would be able, they could check out or take home or whatever they needed to do. We placed boxes of tissue, boxes of Kleenex all through the room. And I'm going to stop here and I want to tell you something about a Kleenex. We put these all through the room, in the floor, under the chairs at different spots. But what I want you to realize on a box of Kleenex, when someone starts talking and finally showing a little emotion that maybe they really need to let out, please do not grab up that box of Kleenex and grab a handful and shove it down to them. Because what it's like is like saying, okay, blow your nose, dry your eyes. Because that's not what we want. We want, some of these ladies haven't cried at all. We want them to let out the tears, let that nose run, let those tears flow, and when they need a Kleenex, they'll find it or they'll ask for it. So don't be too quick with a little something as simple as a tissue. Maybe we shouldn't put so many all over the place. let's see. We were doing this for 12 to 13 weeks. Was a session, which would be a quarter, one quarter. And we would meet every Wednesday night. Of course, you can do this any night, you can do this any place, but this is the way we did it. We did it every Wednesday night at 6 o'clock when the regular church members were meeting, we met. But what we didn't do is all the others would go into the auditorium, have a little devotional song service, and then go to their class. Well, we didn't do that. We went straight to our class. We wanted our whole hour. Plus, when grief is really fresh, you might not get them there if they think they're going to a church service before they go to a class. They're just not always ready for it yet. So, that's what we did. And also, I want to talk about Scripture. We know that those Scriptures help. But when grief is fresh, it's not always what we want to hear right at the very beginning. And especially for some people, they may be angry at God. So when you bombard them with scriptures, it's not always the best thing at the beginning. That will come later when they're ready for it. I wrote a lot of stuff. We got a book, and I wrote a weekly lesson plan. We were going to follow this plan. We would talk about this tonight, and we would do this. And you know what? That didn't work. That didn't work. So what we learned to do was we wrote this stuff, and we threw it out if we didn't like it. After you've gone through a lesson or one or two classes, that didn't work. Because you followed a plan, and they needed to talk. They needed to hear what others were saying. They needed to hear that they were okay, that they were normal. These were normal feelings. So we threw that out. And that's what I want you to do. If you make a plan and you see it's not working, throw it out and start all over. Go a different direction. And it's okay, because you will light on what's the best. We used this book. You can order any book that you want to order, but we found this one, Walking with Those Who Weep. It's a really good book. I think we ordered them like 10 or 15 at a time, and they were like $8.95, I think. But I also want to say this, if you're working with a small congregation and have a small budget, you don't have to have this book. At first, we were following this when I told you we did lessons. Then what we did was we gave this to them to take home and keep, told them to read it as they had time and could. But we didn't discuss this book anymore in class. If they had questions, we asked them to bring it to us, you know, the next class. But most of the time, they didn't. So you can either, by your budget, use it or don't use it. Buy it or don't buy it. Okay, I'm lost again. Let's see. One thing that I did, and this is a time-consuming part, and I'll tell you it is up front, but I think it's very, very important. I wrote lots of letters. Now, your letters doesn't have to be, I just get talky and write a long letter sometimes, but you don't have to. It can be a short note. And I can turn on the computer and I can type a little bit and I can go to eBay, but I don't know a lot more about it. And my smartphone, a lot smarter than me. So I don't know how to store all that stuff and do all that, but I know how to write in a notebook. And this was my first notebook, and if you'll see all this little stuff, well, my husband was carrying this out of the class, and I had a travel cup of coffee, and he didn't realize that a travel cup spills steel if you turn it sideways. So I have coffee stains. But you know what? That's okay, because we're stained up, broken up people, and that's okay. This notebook just goes along with us. I started rewriting it, and I thought, it's too much of my information. So I'm just going to bring it and show you what it looks like, just like it is. But what I did... It's sectioned. It's one of those section notebooks. A's. I just made up my own alphabet and alphabetized any contact that I had. Any name that someone gave me. I had their address, their email, anything that I had. Any letter I wrote, I made sure I put in this notebook. And I allowed two or three pages for the A's and two or three for the B's, you know, that way. And then on the second section, I alphabetized it again. I put the same name, but what I put there was anything that I could find out personally about that person. Now, this was my notebook. No one else saw it but me. But if I found out they died in a car wreck, I wrote that down. If I found out they died of suicide, I wrote that down. I wrote down the information. You know, I told you I read the obituaries. When I found out the date of their birth, and the date of their death, which is in an obituary, I wrote that down. Now, when you come to class, you fill out a registration card, I find out your birth date. I wrote that down. It's my personal information, but I wanted it because, remember, I'm going to write those personal notes, and I wanted to have info to use. And the third section that I did, and this worked really well when we started out, I just did January through December. And whatever date that your loved one died, I wrote that, your name, and that date, because it was a very important date to you. And I wanted to make sure that I sent a note on that date. I wanted you to know that you weren't forgotten, that your loved one was not forgotten. I didn't want you to go to an empty mailbox that day. And I used it, and when we only had 10 people, it worked really easy. Then after about 10 classes, and you had 10 or 20 people, it got up to be a lot of people, so I would cut down on sending all the cards or notes. But you don't have to send notes. It can be cards. So that way you just sign in your name and an address. But another way you can do this is to delegate. Get other people involved in your class. You may have people sitting in your congregation who are wanting to do something and don't know what they can do. If they're housebound, if they're homebound, they can write a note. They can write a letter. Use them. They're waiting to be used. So that's what my, but this is an important notebook for me. And I did start it, but I didn't finish it. Each person, then they filled out a registration card. All it is, when they came in, they came in and they filled out, all we're asking is your name, your birth date, your loved one's date, all those dates that I was telling you about, when they died. But this is the information and the email and the phone number so I could get in contact, and their address. And at the same time that they filled that out when they came in, it was we had a little plate. I don't know if you can see it, but just a little square. And we had everyone sign that. And the reason we did that is because we sent out cards as a class. If we heard about a death in the community or you had a contact for us, we wanted to send a card to that person. If I sent out the card and said, okay, you start this and y'all all sign it, every week, it takes up our time. And we wanted our whole hour. So we had you all sign this card, and about the second or third week, we figured that was who I was going to be coming. We made copies of that. And so when we send out a card, we just slipped that little card with all your names on it in the card. And it was from y'all, and then we just signed it the support class or grief support. But it saves a lot of time. I want to tell you this. I mentioned it in the first class. If I could have taken pictures of when that first night when they came in, they all came in with apprehensive. They didn't know what they were coming into. Once they walked in the door, they probably thought, what have I done? I shouldn't have come. Wish I hadn't. We always had a coat on. And this is the way I think about it. Because we always had our classes in the fall or the winter. We didn't do summer months because there's too many people out of pocket. They always seemed to have a coat on. And as I watched them come in with those coats on, it was almost like they were wearing their suit of armor. They're not going to let their feelings show or not going to be hurt by anyone in the class. And I've seen them sit in class when the room was actually too warm to have a coat on. And yet they didn't take them off. That was the first class. Then the second class, a few would take off their coats when they came in. By the third class, nobody was wearing a coat. They were ready to share. They were ready to share their feelings and get to be known by each of you, each person in there. And that's why I kind of compare the first class to as it went along. I told you we built up a library of helpful books. We've got a few over here. If your budget is small, you do not have to spend a lot of money on books. I am a thrift store hanger-outer. I go to all the thrift stores. I go all to the Goodwills. I hate shopping, but I love those stores. Those stores are full of books, and I have never been to one that I didn't get caught up over there. You can build up a library of great books in short order. Now, if you hear of one that's really good and you want to get it, you can order it, eBay, Amazon, but just check out your thrift stores. There's a few up here that I could really recommend that you get. I'm going to talk about the gift basket. We did these. We called them gift baskets. We called them comfort baskets. Sympathy baskets. I don't know if we ever lit on a real name or not. But what we did, this is what we wrote. I'm gonna do this one backwards. Instead of making the basket, I'm going to unmake it. We wrote this. And all these things are just little tokens. They really, you know, it was just a door opener. If I came to your door, I heard about a death in your family, you lost your husband, I had this gift basket ready, and it makes up a really cute little basket. I'd ring your doorbell, you would open the door, and you'd see me, and you'd let me come in. And then I could tell you how sorry I was when our class wants to give you this. What class? And then I'd tell them about the class. And we had people come to our class from this gift basket. And this gift basket, once again, small budget, doesn't matter. All of these things you can find, or if people will donate in the church that's got these laying around. The thing reads, what we put in there, and I got to get my glasses, I'm sorry. The basket contains tokens, the journal. Write, put your thoughts, your prayers, your anguish down, let go, express yourself through the pen, let the words flow. The cup of cocoa for comfort. And the cookies went with the cocoa, by the way. The tissues. Cry. Let the tears go, then wipe your eyes and look to the future. The seed, the earth. Plant the seeds of hope. Let the beauty of God show itself to you like it showed it to me. Remember my zinnias? The rain candle. The light symbolizing fragrance of rain and God's love showering down on you. And then we would always get a little bear and bind. We put him up in little bandages. The hurting bear. See yourself in him. You deserve to bind up your hurts until you heal. We always put an invitation to the next class. We kind of use the same one, but we just changed the dates. But you can do any kind of invitation that you want to do. But what we did, was one of our classes during the session, we had our ladies. It was probably about the seventh or eighth later on classes. The ladies got around a big table. We had bought all the supplies, all the baskets, all the plastic bags, everything was there, and the ladies had a really good time that night. There was laughter. All the pictures that y'all see on the board over here, most of those are during our basket making night. And you see laughter? They got to forget for just a little while as they made those baskets. And another thing those baskets do is, as they're making those baskets, they know where they're going. They know that those baskets are going to someone else who's having the same hurts, pains, feelings that you're having. So you're reaching out through these baskets. We had shelves built on our walls, And that night, they put together maybe 20, 15 to 20 baskets maybe. We kept our shelves full. Also, on our tithes, what did I do with the tithe? We would just do a ribbon and use a hole punch. I'd used scissors. But hole punch, so they were ready. These were ready. All we had to do was add who they're going to. So everything was ready. When this is pulled up and tied, it's ready to go. Just add who it's going to. Or if you don't want to do the whole thing, you can take it out and put a personal touch if you want to. Also, those candid shots, like we did over there, that we took that night, that's the ones that we pasted on our wall some way, on a board, because we wanted our room to be really cheery. We wanted them, when they came in, we wanted them to see the baskets on the wall, the pictures from the previous class, because it looked cheery. It looked interesting. What are we going to be doing in here? It's not drab. Anyway, those candid shots, I'd send them to Walmart after they made our pictures, and then we would just do a collage of all of our pictures from that class, and this we would give to them at the end of the session so they could take it home as a memory. And I keep bringing up budget because I'm a budget person. But once again, budget, don't frame them. Just give them the picture. You know, I'm just trying to say that if your budget is small in a small congregation, you don't have to spend a lot of money on this class, although it's worth spending it. I was going to tell you about the basket, one more thing. There was a lady in our congregation, or in our community, who had lost her son in a motorcycle wreck. And I remember I took the basket to her and I rang her doorbell. I didn't know her, but I had read the obituaries. I went to the door and I rang it. She let me in and we stood and talked for about 30 minutes and we cried together and she came to class. And her loss was very fresh, but she still came. And I know it was a lot about the basket, which seems simple, but it works. We had someone would come in and do a song. There's lots of good songs. I just wanted to make the class special any way that we could. We would have someone come in live. If we could get someone to come in and sing, my son came in and sang several times. I think it helped him with his own grief. We had Kent and a couple of the girls who came in and did a little quartet thing, you know, and sang to us. One of our ladies, Kathy, her son is deaf, so she does, I watch her in church, she does the signing as during all the songs. We had her come in and she signed a song as it was being played. And it was pretty and it was moving. One of our congregation members is a masseuse. And she said, I just want to do something for your class. What can I do? I said, well, just come on in. And she did. And as we had our circle, she just quietly, without saying a word, walked behind each person and just gave a little simple 5-minute shoulder massage just to give them some relaxation. And they loved that. Movies. We play with emotions and your feelings. In a 5-minute span, they can go from laughter, crying, anger, any other emotion that you can think of. It's just wham, 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 wham. There you are. We show this clip. Every one of our sessions, we have used this movie. There's a clip in here where Sally Field is at the cemetery when her daughter dies. And she goes, she's angry, she's mad, she's laughing. It shows exactly what we're talking about. And I can hear, we turn out the lights and we show this little clip. I can hear our ladies with a little bit of laughter because there's funny spots. and I can hear the sniffling, and they like this. This is a good thing. This is something special again. Also, Terms of Endearment has another, there's several movies that have different little, just a little spot in it that you can use. I think this may last about 5 minutes, maybe, the clip on this one. Where's my index card? Sorry, y'all. I don't know where it is. Let's see. There's an index card. Here it is. The first night, this is the only lesson that we give to them to take home. There's really no other lessons. I told you we got rid of them. But we did not get rid of the first one. And the reason is because it tells you who we are not. We are not counselors. We have no training. We only have our own loss and a memory, the memory of it. And we want to help. But we want them to take this home because we don't want to give anyone any false impressions that we think we are nothing but just like them. This is when the first class, I do most of the talking, because when they come in, they're not ready to talk. Remember, they're not taking off those coats. They're still hiding. So what we do, the three of us, myself, Gay, and Jenny, we give what we call our grief narrative. And it's a one-page short. This is mine. And it's just very short, one page, and I tell it. Don't read it. Just tell it. I want them to know why I'm in the class. I want them to know why I needed to be in there. I want it to be short so they will realize we've got 10, 12, 15 people in there and they can't talk for 30 minutes tomorrow when they come back next week. So we give them the example. We make ours this short so that they will do the same thing. And what we do also is we tell them, next week when you come back for the second one, you bring a picture of your loved one. This is my husband, Dennis. And this was Russell. We want you to bring a picture of your loved one because we want to see them. They were living. That you love them. You're going to be telling us about them. I want to see who they are. I want to see what they look like. And so does everyone else. So what I want you to do when you come the second week, you bring your picture and you come prepared to give this little short narrative. That's the assignment for them to come back on the second week. But on the first week, when they're in there, I ask them to do one thing, just one. The only thing they have to say is this tiny little card right here. I don't ask them to fill it out. Just read it. And this is what it says. My name is, my loved one's name is, who died on what date? And he was my husband, or he was my son, or my daughter. That's all they had to say. What is that, three lines? Out of a class of 10, there's probably going to be three or so who can't do that the first night. They try, and they'll break down. And when they break down, I just say, we'll come back to you, and we'll go to the next one. And then we'll go around, and then when everybody has done it, I go back to them, and I say, do you want to do yours tonight? And I have had no one say no. They always say, I'm going to do it. I'm going to do it. And they read it. Now, it may take a few minutes, but they'll read it. They get through it. And that's because they watched everybody else do it. And like I say, that's all that we asked them to do that night, because that's enough for them to do. And I told you already, we played the song, the dance. We do that every first meeting. We play the dance. And it brings tears. And I really want it to. Sometimes that sounds terrible, but some of them have held it in so long that they need to let go of those tight feelings. They just need to let it go. Let me see. You know what I found to be so amazing? When I watched them walk in with those coats and those sad expressions, and when we get through with our class, we always end, we didn't quote scripture to them, but we always end in prayer, and we always have a scripture, just a short scripture at the end. And then they're dismissed, but we can't get them out of the room. They don't want to leave. They hang around. Our husbands are all out in the, you know, we can't get them to leave because, you know why? Because what we talked about here, I can't say it, the Greek, mikum hanakama, it's a safe place for the work of grieving. And they found a safe place to be with us, and they don't want to go. And now I'm just going to tell you about a few things that we do that this is just at random. That was our first night. Then during the 12 lessons or so, one of the things that we do is we make a collage. We give them a blank poster board, half a poster board, and we give them magazines if they don't have any to take home. We have a stack. You're free to take magazines. So some people may not have any. One thing I want you to be sure and tell them, don't let it be a picture board. I don't want you to just come in with 15 pictures like this one. I want you to take those magazines. I want you to look around your house, things that remind you of your loved one. Dennis liked to fish and hunt. Dennis liked to party down. We had a Halloween party, and he loved to party. Come to my party, and then that says, when guests arrive, it's important to mingle. That reminded me of him. The little doll, I know you're thinking, what did... Before I even had a costume shop, we lived in Wyoming, and I made us Raggedy Ann and Andy costumes, and we went to a Halloween party. And I found out years later, my son said something about he always had a nightmare about Raggedy Ann and Andy. And I thought, well, we came home and, you know, checked you were in bed. He said, was that y'all? Yeah. And I thought, I should have told you that a long time ago, I guess. Yeah. But this is my zinnias that I talked about. So just anything. And it, you know what? It becomes fun to look for things. This was Russell. We could make him a sandwich. He'd have it all ready and go to the refrigerator. If there wasn't some miracle whip, he didn't eat that sandwich. He didn't want it. None of it. He played ball. He loved his dad. He was in Iraq. Just things that I found in the magazines or laying around that reminded me of Russell. And I did put a few pictures. You can put two or three. Just don't cover it with pictures, because if it's just pictures, I didn't learn anything about him. I want to know. I want, when you leave my class in 12 weeks, I want to know, did your husband hunt? Did your husband fish? I can look, I promise y'all, I can look at this board over here and see these people, and I remember what their husbands or their children like to do, because it was important to me to remember. And at the end of a class, and I want to tell you this, at the end of every class, I wrote a letter to every person that was in my class every week. So during those 12 or 13 weeks, those people got at least one letter per week during that time. And I could always, I can't remember what I had for breakfast this morning, but I could remember what you told me about your loved one during that week. And when I wrote that letter, no two letters were alike because I wrote personal stuff. I wanted you to know I cared about what you said in my class. This was just something that what happened was we had someone in our congregation who liked to woodwork, and dear Roy took his scrap lumber and made little shadow boxes. And so what we did, we have a ministry there called Sewing for the Master, and they do those little pillowcase dresses to send overseas. So we have a captive audience again of sewers. So we bought the handkerchiefs and gave them to them, gave them the dates. They put Dennis, his birth date, and the day he died. We put them together, and we gave these as a gift for each person in the class. Just that one class, because that's all we had. So things were different for each class. This was just what we did was we got, and I don't think we did this at the beginning, but what we had was a large bowl, large clear bowl. I just brought the small one. And we had a bunch of rocks, stones, and we had a Sharpie pen. And we would have them there and just let you put the name of your loved one on the rock and a short little message that you wanted to write. And you really can get a little message on there. And then we put them in the bowl, and each class put their own rocks in. And we called this Building on the Foundation of Healing. And we kept this in our classroom. And this, I just always have loved. Even years ago, I always had this little poem framed in my house, and it means I shall not live in vain. If I can stop one heart from breaking, I shall not live in vain. If I can ease one life the aching, or cool one pain, or help one fainting robin unto his nest again, I shall not live in vain. I just like what it says. So we framed these and let them have these during the class. We just wanted them to know we wanted to do something special for them. I want to tell you about these. I actually found one of these at the Goodwill. And it's just a little 40-page booklet. And it was really good. It had some really good information in it. And then I got to look, and it says book 4. And I thought, well, that means there's at least 3 more. So I started looking them up. And in the back, it told where they ordered this from. So I ordered one. And it comes in a packet like this. This is how you get it. And I think it was $7.95, I think, for the packet. But you get 4 booklets. And with it, you get a little registration card so that you can keep up when you mail one out. One person was going to get 4 books. This one person that I put his name. And I did use these a lot for the men that I would read about. Someone that I knew wasn't going to come to our class, or if I found someone that I knew wasn't going to be able to come to the class, I would use these books. You get the registration card. You get book 1, 2, 3, and 4. 1, you send 3 weeks after their loved one's death. And they come with their own envelopes. They're ready. I would put a personal note in there, of course. 3 weeks. 3 months, 6 months, and the year anniversary of the death. And what you were able to do was touch one person 4 times. And all these books are really good. And they kind of go along with at the beginning of a grief, and they just take you through, you know, each one's written for that time. But these were good, really good. Let me see. Sent lots of cards. We got lots of cards back. People would send us cards back. And I used to get these. It's just a lady praying. But when I would send a card, I'd always stick one of these little cards in there. See if I've forgotten anything. I think that's... Oh, the last night, always on the last night, we did the same thing. We played the song, The Rose. I don't know if y'all are familiar with that song or not, but it talks about being, how it, anyway, The Rose. We didn't give these. We actually bought real red, real roses, but I didn't go get one. But we used a real rose, and we did this little tag, and on it it says, "Then the time came when the risk it took to become tight in a bud was more painful than it took to bloom." We tied that on a rose, and we gave those as the rose was being played. And I think they liked that. I think I'm going to let y'all ask questions. Let me see. Group share. There's other ways. I know that this is the way we did it. But there's other place. There's grief share. I've seen. Well, let me tell you this. Two of our ladies came two different sessions. So when I'm saying two sessions, I mean 12 or 13 week times. They came twice. And after the second one, they took the class 30 miles away to Hampton and started their own class. And that's probably been going on 3 or 4 years now, and they're still going. Now, they use grief share. So that's something that you can buy and you follow the plan. And then there's Spark of Life. One of the ladies here was involved with that. That's a retreat, a weekend retreat type grieving help. There's different things on Facebook, if any of you are on Facebook. I use Grief Toolbox. They have a lot of good things. Let's see. I wanted to talk about this. I want to tell you this, that after I've moved, that's why I'm at two congregations. We're almost moved to Gainesville. My husband has to work a couple more years, so we're back and forth some. But when Jenny and Gay, when I found out I was leaving, I was thought, oh no, my class, our class. But Jenny and Gay have picked up the pieces. They are doing the class still. I think this is their second or third class that they're doing. Doing a great job. And they've recruited Kathy Wilhelm, who lost her sister, and Norma. And so they've joined, and the class is continuing on. I'm so glad. And I hope Gainesville's going to have one soon. I want to talk about one verse. I don't know if y'all have ever, when y'all had to memorize things in class, but if we had to memorize a verse, I got mine. Jesus wept, because I could remember that one. But that's all that it really, that's all I thought. It was just short. But today, after going through the pain I've been through, Jesus wept means a lot more to me today than it ever did before. Because he... Well, you know what it was about, but he felt their pain. We started in the valley of the shadow of death, and now we've climbed up to the mountain, the tableland. The walk is not always easy. It's rocky. But we have the sunshine in our face, lighting our path. We've left the darkness, which doesn't mean we don't have a bad day now and then. And we keep our eyes fixed on Christ. Because we always remember we have the promise of eternal life, where we will be reunited one day with our loved ones. For now, they're still with us in our hearts, our minds, and our memories. They walk beside us, still loved and missed every day. Unseen, unheard, but not forgotten. And we can keep be smiling when we think of them. Thank y'all. Any questions? Have we got any time, or is it over? Or who's going to take it back home? We are. Oh, you weren't here for the first.
Yeah, I was.
You was. Okay. You mean like during the, okay, the first one I do all the talking, and the second one they come in, they tell their grief narratives. Okay, I forgot this. They bring their picture. You know, they're showing us that. The third one is we tell them to bring a memento, a keepsake, something that's really important to them, that means a lot, that they've held on to, and they bring that and show us that, and they tell us about that and pass that around. Now, we don't keep those mementos in our room. We let them take those back home. The collage, the other times, I always have a list of questions in case we can't get them to talk on their own. And I have called them by name. I don't want to do that, but sometimes I'll just say, okay, Betty, what do you think? Or whatever. And they'll talk. You call them by name and they'll talk. And once one starts to talk, the others will start to talk. But you always go in there with some kind of info. Don't go in there and just expect them to carry it on, because you got to give them a little nudge sometimes. And also, one of the very important things that Dan told me when I started the class was you got to keep control. You can't let one person go in and take 30 minutes. You got to stop them. I mean, nicely, but you got to. It's a class for people. So let's give them all a chance to talk. And I want to say this. We've had 10 people. We've had 22, I think, was our largest class. And then once we had 3. And I'll never forget how I felt as I sat there. 3 people came in. And you know what? It was the best class we ever had. Because those 3 people needed us so badly that we had one-on-one time with them. And so what I said earlier, God gives us what we need. Those people needed us more than the 20. It was a great class. Just turned out to be a great class. So don't let numbers rock your boat. It doesn't matter. Even if you only have one, you've touched one person. So don't let that, don't think, oh, it's a failure. Because it's not. Because next time you're going to have 10, 15. Any other questions? Did I cover it? Can you think of anything I didn't talk about?
Did you say to send the basket that you got the list from the newspaper, the obituaries?
I read the obituaries to get names of people who's lost. You can't do them all. So what you're doing is, I look at the ones for especially wives or children or maybe a parent. And I go maybe by even a certain age. You know, you just got to kind of decide which way you're going to go with it, because I can't touch them all. But now, and then you're going to get a lot of contacts too. But okay, if I chose Shelley, just say I talked about Shelley. I saw who she was, saw she lost her son. She'd already been a widow. She'd already been widowed before that. And I thought, I'm going to go to her. So I got her address. And I went. There's different ways. Facebook is really good, because somebody will know somebody who knows her. You know, private message. I talked to all the funeral homes, and they were really good about giving me addresses. I don't know. I've just always managed to find an address. Kathy Wilhelm, she knew everybody. I could always get them from her. But I remember when I went to Shelley's house, you couldn't get to her door because she had a chain link fence around her and a vicious dog in the yard. And I thought, well, how do I get her to come to this door without me ringing a doorbell and without me getting in there with that dog? And I thought about it, and I thought about it, and I thought, I have a horn, and I honked it. And she came to the door. And I just said, got something for you. You know, I came to see you. So she called the dog off, and I got in the house. Yeah. We put that in the basket so they'll know what the tokens are. We put the invitation to the next class. Okay, we put the invitation. I forgot to say that. I'm sorry. The invitation for the either the class that's just going on, maybe it's just barely started, or for the next class. We put the invitation in there. And then they have a card that says it's from this grief, ladies' grief recovery class. So, and then
so that piece of paper and invitation is separate from what's in the envelope?
Yes, yes. It's just a sympathy card. And it's going to have that thing that I had people sign with all those names.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
It's going to have that, and it's going to say from the Ladies Grief Recovery class. And possibly, if I may have already sent a note, too. That may be the second step, because I'm pretty quick with the notes on the when I read an obituary. So that may be their second touch. And I always sign my name to it so that they'll, if I call them, they'll remember it was me. You know, I want you to know you recognize me. So, does that make sense? But the baskets, you know, there's a lot of ways you delegate use your people in your congregation. And like I said, no. We have tried to talk the men, one of the men in leading a class, because it's very much needed, very much.
We have a lot of both in our
yes. But we haven't been able to get a man to step up to the plate yet. But it's needed just as much. But it's, and we've had several men of the congregation wish we had one. But so far, we haven't managed to make it. What would motivate him if he was in a class where he had fellow people who have lost someone? They could, you know, form kind of a coffee drinkers club or something, you know.
It almost takes a man to have experienced it to get it.
And there are some in our congregations, if we could just talk them into it. And you know what? If they could come and sit in or see how simple, because you... I talk the first night, but you don't have to do very much talking after the first night. Y'all don't want to hear me again. You want to talk and tell. You want to tell your stories, and I want to hear your stories. So that's why you got to have that list of questions available to ask, to draw out whatever you want them to talk about. But it'll work. It'll work. Just call them by name now and then. They'll start talking. Usually, if you've ever found out, if you get one to talk, then somebody else think, well, she talked, I'll talk. You know, and it goes around that way. So, but we've never had a problem, other than maybe one, just a little bit here and there, getting people to talk. And then once they open up, sometimes you can't get them to shut up. You know, I mean, they're really wanting to tell it. But that may be the ones who you really need to listen to.
What are some of the first questions you would ask?
Oh, let me see. Maybe even, have you had problems with anger, guilt? What have your emotions been? You know, just think about your own. That's all you've really got to think about, is think about your own and what you have felt and bring it out. And then you might get one of your other people to ask a question, and then it starts, you know. But the classes have been, we keep them busy. We keep them busy. They've always got their little, they're going to talk about their memento or, you know, and then we, that's about the third class, I think. And then the fourth, we just kind of do freelance, whatever. But give them, on the collage, you need to give them their paper about the third class, because you want to give them 3-4 weeks maybe to work on it, because some of them's going to be real slow about getting it started. And then you tell them, okay, bring your collages back next week, because we're going to talk about it. Now, when they come back, they're going to do what I just did. I just told you a couple of things on mine, but you're going to tell me everything that you put on there and what it represents. But that doesn't take that long. You'll have time for the whole unless you got 20. 20 is a little bit big. The only class we've ever had was the 22, and it was a little bit big because it was hard to find time for everybody to talk. So really 10 to 12 is about as big as you want it to be. So, and like I say, the 3 was great. It was. But I was trying to think if there's any other things that we did. But like I say, if any of y'all are interested in any of the information, I'll be happy to email you anything that you need. You know, it's just funny that once that you start helping someone else, you may be down in the dumps so bad and think, I can't find a reason to get up. But when you realize that someone else is feeling that way, and you go to that class and you see them smiling and when they leave and they're hanging on to you, your own grief diminishes a lot. You have a purpose again. Sometimes we just need a purpose. And it helps. It helps both of you. I think it's one of those things that I don't know which one's blessed. I never left that class that I didn't feel blessed and thankful that I was there. Not thankful for the reason, but thankful that I found a reason to be needed. Okay, y'all. Unless you have another question.